So let's move from the Democrats running for governor to the Republicans, or at least one of them. Charlie Baker served as Secretary of Administration and Finance under Governors Weld and Scilucci, spent 10 years as CEO of Harvard Pilgrim Healthcare, and in 2010 ran for governor and lost against incumbent Deval Patrick. Now he's running again. And Charlie Baker, welcome back to Radio Boston. Really good to have you.
How are you?
Very well.
Good to be here.
Yeah, it's good to have you. So let me start by asking you about the Democrats who just debated each other this morning here at WBUR. Your name did not come up, not surprising, as they were very much focused on each other. But of the three, Coakley, Grossman, or Berwick, which one do you think would give you the toughest run for your money?
I don't. To tell you the truth, I don't really think about it that way.
How do you think about it? You must have thoughts about these three guys.
Well, frankly, I think all three of them come from the tax and spend side of the Democratic Party, and as a guy who's a fiscally responsible guy with a track record on budget issues and taxes, and managing money, I'm looking forward to having an opportunity to debate whichever one comes out of the Democratic primary. The other thing I would add is that there are a whole series of polls that have been done lately that show that the number one concern Massachusetts voters have. They want the next governor to be somebody who's going to be fiscally disciplined and fiscally responsible and look out for their money. And I think for a lot of voters in Massachusetts, I'm hoping they'll take a good look at me on that issue.
All right. Well, let me ask you about a couple of issues that came up this morning and that will certainly come up in your campaign as you move forward. Casino gambling. The Supreme Judicial Court will decide whether to allow a question on the ballot to repeal the law that allows casinos in the state. You've said you support the ballot question, but you've not said how you would vote if such a ballot question came up. Your Republican rival, Mark Fisher, has said he would vote to repeal gambling. So how would you vote on the issue?
Well, as I've said for a long time, I always thought Mitt Romney had the perfect answer to all this when he was governor, which was that we should simply ask the state of Connecticut to send us a check every year for $300 million not to build any casinos.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, that part never happened. And my position in 2010 was I could see Massachusetts moving forward with one casino, just given the amount of traffic and activity that takes place in Connecticut. But I've always been worried about oversaturation on this and how much can the market really absorb and what does it mean for the lottery and what does it mean for the Main Street businesses, the restaurants, the retailers, and others who compete for the discretionary dollar that people have to spend.
So, given all those concerns, why?
And I've always been a big fan of the ballot. So,
right.
If the question gets on the ballot, I hope the question gets on the ballot. I'd like the voters to have an opportunity to vote on that.
Yeah. But given those concerns that you just outlined, why do you support even one casino?
Because there is a ton of activity that goes on in the Connecticut casinos that involves people from Massachusetts.
So it's just a question about not losing revenue to Connecticut, in a sense.
Well, and also, it's not just a question of not losing revenue. It's also a question of whether we should be responding to the fact that there are a lot of people in Massachusetts who like casinos.
Yeah. Let me move on to the question of guns. House Speaker Robert DeLeo has a proposed bill to toughen gun laws in Massachusetts. You said in a statement you were encouraged by the legislation. I'd like to ask you a little bit more about that. As governor, would you favor tougher gun control measures in this state, which already has some of the strongest in the nation?
Yeah, well, in that legislation, there are several things that I think are important. I do believe we need to do a much better job of connecting the mental health system to the background check system, and this legislation certainly moves us along the road in that direction. I also support the increasing penalties with respect to gun crimes, and I also appreciate the piece of the legislation that talks about, although I'm getting varying opinions from different people about whether or not it will do what it says it will do with respect to trying to be a lot tougher on illegal trafficking, which I think is a huge issue, especially in terms of getting guns out of the hands of criminals. But at this point in time, obviously, there's a big hearing on this and a ton of back and forth. And I think, like a lot of people, I'm waiting to see what comes out of the the conversation there that's taking place in the House and the Senate.
What about limiting gun purchases to one gun a month? This is something the governor has pushed for a while. The Democrats were kicking that around today, as we just heard a few moments ago. What's your position on that? Is that a good idea?
You know, I heard Representative Strauss, who's a pretty liberal Democrat from, I think, Westport, talk about this on Jim Browdy's show a few months ago. And he said he didn't quite call it a gimmick, but he sort of called it a gimmick, and I think that's probably where I would land. I would much rather see us deal with the issues that are most fundamental to getting the guns out of the hands of people who are mentally unstable and out of the hands of criminals. And to me, that starts with the trafficking stuff and the mental health stuff around background checks and increasing some of the penalties associated with the use of a gun in a crime.
And it's a gimmick because
I think I said he sort of called it a gimmick.
Oh, I see. But you agree with that.
I called it a gimmick.
Yeah.
But I think his larger point, which is this is not going to solve the problem, is a good one.
All right. I want to move on and ask you about the Department of Children and Families in Massachusetts, which has been in the news lately. A state investigation found that the agency was not to blame for the death and the apparent murder of 5-year-old Jeremiah Oliver, though it did acknowledge system-wide failures. You served once upon a time as Secretary of Health and Human Services under Governor Bill Weld. How would you fix DCF, which you've called a broken agency in the past?
Well, I mean, at the risk of going way into the weeds in a way that won't make you or your audience very happy, I did put out a proposal in January on what I would have done to deal with what I consider to be some of the big concerns at DCF. And the very abridged Reader's Digest version of that was there are 4 or 5 key indicators that can tell you a lot about one of these places. And my thought on it was you think about the agency region by region by region. It's a statewide enterprise, but each region operates differently. Each region is better at different things. Make the focus on the 5 or 6 key indicators, figure out which ones are working well and which ones aren't, and then go after fixing the issues that come up when you do that analysis and fix them. And some of the stuff that I talked about with regard to that was referenced in the CWLA report that eventually came out.
All right. Charlie Baker, I have to ask you about what's going on in New Jersey. Your political ally, Governor Chris Christie, has been swept up in a well-publicized scandal. And now your name is sort of part of the headlines in New Jersey. The New Jersey State Investment Council agreed to seek a legal review of the $10,000 donation you made to the New Jersey GOP in May of 2011, just 7 months before General Catalyst, the investment firm where you're listed as an executive-in-residence principal, received $15 million from the state's pension fund. Now, this is making huge news in New Jersey. I know we could go really deeply into the weeds here, but this seems to create at least an appearance of conflict. You know, how do you explain this? How do you make this go away?
Well, nobody did anything wrong. The donation I made was permissible. I actually asked a lawyer who's the former general counsel of the FEC to look at all the facts and circumstances around this, and he wrote a 10-page opinion that said the notion that there was a pay-to-play issue here was utterly baseless. And I look forward to whatever comes about as a result of the review that's being done. I think any independent review is going to come to the same conclusion that the gentleman I asked to review it came to, which is that this was a permissible donation and nobody did anything wrong.
Well, I just want to ask you one more question about this because, you know, it strikes me when thinking about this story, you know, your business background is a real positive in the eyes of a lot of voters. But I'm wondering if, you know, this story suggests it's sort of one of the perils of running for public office with a deep background in business. Opponents, members of the press sort of can dig through a long record and come up with these kinds of questions. And you're right. At this point, they're only questions.
I guess what I would say in response to that is that I think what most voters want to know is what are you going to do to get this economy moving? We've had tremendous success in some sectors of Massachusetts, not so much in others. We have big issues, as everybody knows, and I've talked with you about this before, and you've talked about it, with respect to the achievement gap between city schools, many of them city schools and suburban schools. And I think most people are a lot more interested in what their state government is going to do to work with local governments to improve the quality of life in their communities. And I think for most voters, the big focus for them is going to be on stuff like that. And And frankly, that's kind of where I think it should be.
Well, let me ask you a little bit about sort of campaign strategy that you're facing. You know, at one point it looked as though you might be doing this primary campaign pretty much unopposed, but now you have a primary opponent in Mark Fisher. Has this affected your plans and the way you're thinking about this campaign?
Well, I said when I first started running that I was going to chase 100% of the vote, which obviously is pretty aspirational. But the larger point I was trying to make was that I was going to campaign in all corners of Massachusetts, and I was going to talk with people across the Commonwealth about my plans for improving our economic competitiveness and creating jobs and creating balance on Beacon Hill and improving our schools and building great communities. And that's going to continue to be my plan and my strategy. And I think a lot of voters who will vote in a Republican primary are interested in those issues too. And I, you know, and obviously many of them do, since I did get 85% of the vote, which I am grateful for, at the Republican nominating convention in at the Agganis Arena back
sure.
in March.
Charlie Baker, one last question. You know, when we had you in here a few months ago when you first said you wanted to run again, you admitted, as you did to other people, that you regretted how you ran the campaign 4 years ago and that you were going to do things differently this time. And you sort of talked about, I don't know, I'll sum it up by saying, you know, let Charlie be Charlie. You know, are you doing that? Do you feel better about how it's going this time around?
I certainly feel more comfortable. I think, you know, one of the things you learn the first time you run is it's not as easy as it looks, and I certainly learned a lot from that first experience. I think the other thing I would say is I really wanted to make this race about what I could do for Massachusetts and what I thought I brought to the table for Massachusetts with respect to the issues I consider to be the most important, which are the ones we just talked about, jobs, schools, and sort of community building. And I'm going to continue to focus on those issues over the course of the race. And again, the one thing I do know for sure is in the fall, the voters get to make the call.
That's the truth. Charlie Baker, Republican candidate for governor of Massachusetts. Thanks again. We look forward to having you back on Radio
Thank
Boston.
You. Take care, Anthony.
All right. Take
Bye-bye.
Care. Coming up, a look at the Peabody Essex Museum's new exhibit, Turner and the Sea. Stay with us. I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.